Good morning. This is Mose. I'm here to bring you again this morning the daily inspiration. And I just acknowledge this morning that without God, unless God comes down and speak to us, the things that I speak is our own empty words. So let us seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Let us seek God in prayer this morning. Our Heavenly Father, this morning I come to you in the name of Jesus. And I ask you, dear Heavenly Father, to anoint my lips once again this morning, that I may speak the truth in love, that I may speak the truth with power and with authority, dear God. I just beg of you, dear God, that you would show yourself strong this morning. Lord, you know that I am weak and I'm not a speaker, Lord, and yet, Father, I know that you can use me, and so, Father, here I am. I just want to be a vessel that you can use this morning to your glory and to your honor, and to bring forth a challenge this morning, dear God, by the power of your Spirit, that the listeners this morning may be challenged, may be edified, and that they may be, that they actually may make a difference in their lives, Lord. We just pray for the listeners, Lord, that you would open their hearts, that they may receive your word this morning. So, Father, I commit this little devotional into your hand and pray that your will may be done. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Okay, this morning I would like to continue my theme on prayer. And again, I'd like to ask, what is your battleground this morning? What is your battleground? Yesterday morning we talked about our battleground and how that it is Satan's primary goal, I believe, to take away our Bible reading and prayer, because he knows that that is our vital connection with God. In other words, it's the veins. It's the very blood, the lifeblood that is in us. And if Satan is successful in taking away Bible reading and prayer out of our lives, then our walk with God will come to a halt. And God will be somewhere out there like he was when we were yet in our sins. He's somewhere out in the distance, and we can't commune with him. So that, for that reason, I believe, is Satan's one of Satan's major battlegrounds, major goals, is to take away Bible reading and prayer. Or, in other words, our walk with God. So this morning, I did look up the the word prayer, and there is a form of pray, a form of the word pray, P-R-A-Y, mentioned in the Bible over 500 times. You think God sees it important? I don't know how many things are mentioned over 500 times in the Bible, but pray, a form of the word pray, is mentioned over 500 times. Jesus, there in Matthew 6:33, he says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." And in Matthew 6, it says, well, let's go back to 6:33 again with "seek ye first the kingdom of God." He is telling us there that we need to strive to enter in, where he says, I think it's in Hebrews, he tells us that, that we need to strive to enter in and seek you first the kingdom of God. It's the utmost, it's extremely important that we seek the kingdom of God. And so this morning, I would like to challenge you to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then it says, all these things shall be added unto you. You know, it is God's good pleasure to give us the kingdom. It is his good pleasure to give us the riches of the world. Well, maybe that's not quite worded right. But it is God's good pleasure to give us riches. And I'm not just talking about monetary riches. I'm talking about rich in love, rich in hospitality, rich in just many different things that God wants to make us rich. And yes, if he chooses to make us rich with money, but he does also say that money is a snare. And that we will, so we should not, I don't think we should seek the riches of men, you know, like money and many earthly things. I think we should seek to be filled with the love of God. And how much riches is that, to be filled with the love of God, to be filled with the kingdom of God, to be about the kingdom work. And, you know, it's not only for the missionaries that are overseas to preach the gospel, but it's that word there in Matthew 28. It says to go out to all the world and preach the gospel. It doesn't say that that only the apostles shall go out into all the world and preach the gospel. It doesn't say that for a certain age, a certain time in history, that ye shall go out and preach the gospel. It says that we are to go out into all the world and preach the gospel. And I believe that that means that we start right at home. And we start to preach the gospel to our neighbors. We share the gospel wherever we go. So we don't have to be missionaries in a foreign country to preach the gospel. You know, there are many needs right in our own backyard, and there are many needs right here in our home country. And I believe that God's will, I know that God's will is that we, as his people, share the love of God, and that we pray and ask him to lead us and to guide us into all truth, that we might be able to share about the kingdom of God, about the joy of the Lord, about what God has done for me. You know, that's what God wants us to share. First of all, I believe our testimony. It says in Revelation, excuse me, by the words of testimony, by the word of their testimony, and the now I can't get that. Well, anyway, let's move on. Let's start with in Matthew 6:5. It says that when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are. For they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. They're hypocrites. They have an outward appearance of godliness and holiness. But Jesus called them whitewashed sepulchres. In other words, inward. Inside, they were full of dead men's bones. And that's what hypocrites are. They're just, they have a shell. They have a show, but inside they are full of filth. And so they love to pray standing in the synagogues and the street corners. Does that mean that it's wrong to preach on the synagogue, on the street corners? It's wrong to pray when somebody sees you? No. That's not what he's saying here. He's simply saying that the hypocrites, they do it for a show, to show the people who they are. Show the people that they are righteous people. And yet, it's just it's just a shell. It's just a show. And it, but inside there is no righteousness in them. And it says that they have their reward. You know, they're doing it for the reward of being seen. The reward of, and that will be their eternal reward. That will be the only reward they get from praying on the street like that. But, you know, if we do it out of love, if we see a person there that has a need and we kneel down beside him and on the street corner, you know, I believe God blesses that. God blesses when we pray with somebody with a heart of love and understanding. It doesn't matter where. God wants us to pray, and he wants us to pray for one another, and he wants us to pray with one another. All right, let's go on. Matthew 6:6, but thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. When thou prayest, enter into thy closet. What does that mean? Does that mean that we physically go into a little room and we close the door and to make sure that nobody hears us? No, I don't believe that's what it's saying. I believe that what it is saying is when thou prayest, take the door of your mind and shut it. You know, we have all kinds of cares in this life. We have all kinds of concerns and physical things, and yeah, maybe even some needs that we are considering. But God says, shut the door. And I believe that he's talking about the door of our mind. I don't know if you experienced this or not, but I know that I have experienced it many times. You know, I'm there praying, and I rattle off so many words. And when I'm done, I say, well, did I really pray? Yeah, I said some words, but was it really a prayer, or was I thinking about other things when I was praying? When thou prayest, enter into thy closet and shut the door. And when thou hast shut thy door, pray to the Father, which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Seems to me that he is saying that we need to shut the door to those carnal thoughts and not let our mind wander, but that we would be focused on the Lord Jesus Christ and cry out to him, knowing that he is the rewarder of them who diligently seek him. And he also says, but when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. So let us be diligent and come to God in prayer, knowing that he is the rewarder of them. He is our reward. And he desires for us to pray. I don't understand what it is, but something about prayer that moves the hand of God. We can see that throughout the Bible, that if men pray, God's hand is moved. And many a calamity, I believe, was stopped and stayed by the prayer of faithful men. Many times we can read how that prayer People were in a dire strait. They were in a place of extreme danger, and they prayed, and God saved them. And let's look at Jonah. Jonah, there in the Bible. You know, he was running away from God. And he was out there on this ship, and it was about to sink because of the tempest. And they cast lots, and they found that Jonah was the culprit. Jonah had a problem. And they asked Jonah what he did, and he said, well, I'm not sure if he... I didn't read that lately, but Jonah was cast into the sea, and he was swallowed up by a whale. And I guess when Jonah hit the water, he thought, well, that's the end of me. And but I guess he also probably thought, now I don't have to go preach to the Ninevites. And, you know, preaching is not a have to. Preaching is a get to. You know, I get to preach this morning. Praise God. And so, Jonah, when he hit the water there, I believe that he thought that was the end. But a whale, God had created a whale to swallow him and to preserve him alive. But there he was, down in the belly of the whale, amongst all the seaweed and the stench and digesting food and all that kind of stuff. And but the whale swallowed him, and God preserved him alive in the whale's belly for 3 days. And I believe that while Jonah was down there in the whale's belly, he prayed and he repented. And finally, he was vomited up again, and not in the sea to drown, but he was vomited up with a purpose right on the shore. And, you know, God had a purpose for him after he repented. And so let us consider that. Let us repent of our sins, of the things that keep us from doing the will of God. Let us repent. Let us pray. Why do we have to wait until we are in a dire strait like Jonah was to pray? Why didn't Jonah pray before and ask God to give him direction and wisdom and to take him into the city where he needs to go and to preach the gospel? Why didn't he do that? Well, anyway, we don't want to question all of those things too much, but yet we do want to question our own lives, and we want to search our own hearts. You know, what am I doing to serve God? What am I doing to serve other people? What am I doing to preach the gospel? So, I see my time has slipped away. And it's time to close. I thought maybe this morning we'd get into the Lord's Prayer, but I think I'll leave that for tomorrow morning. And may God bless you this morning, and may you seek to pray, and may you make a connection with God that you can... You can hear God, and you can walk with God, and you can be faithful. You can move the heart of God by prayer. Isn't that an awesome thing? You move the heart of God. So God bless you, and come back again tomorrow morning. See what God has for us tomorrow. Thanks for listening. God bless you. Oh, my phone number is 717-656-9576.